everyone. Before we begin, let us just commit this time to God. Father God, we just thank you, Lord, that we can, again, Lord, be gathered in your name. We can be here this beautiful morning, God, to just come into your presence, God. So, Lord Jesus, we just invite you to be in this place, God. And prepare our hearts, God, to hear your word, God. For we know, Lord, your word is active and living and sharper than any two-edged sword, God. It pierces even to the division of soul and spirit, and of joint and marrow, and is a discerner and intent of the intents and thoughts of the heart. So God, we humble ourselves today. Lord, I humble myself, Lord God. May I decrease, Lord, and you increase, Lord Jesus. Lord God, accomplish your will today. Lord, I preach to myself, God, lest I, having preached, I myself become disqualified. So God, we love you, Lord. Holy Spirit, just be here and work in our hearts today for everyone who's here and everyone who is listening in. Thank you, Lord Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The text that I'd like to read today is 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3. Let's just turn there. The book of 2 Corinthians, the 11th chapter, verse 3. And I'm reading from the NASB. But I am afraid that as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, your minds will be led astray from the simplicity and purity of devotion to Christ. And the NKJV renders it, your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. So this morning I'd like to share a simple message titled, Keep It Simple, Stupid. And I'm sure many of us have actually heard that acronym, KISS. Given this week was actually Thanksgiving, I wanted to speak on the theme of Thanksgiving, actually, and we'll get there at the end, but I felt that God actually wanted me to speak on the simplicity that is in Christ. So here in the book of 2 Corinthians, Paul writes that our minds may be corrupted and led astray from the simplicity of a sincere and pure devotion to Christ, or as the NKJV renders it, the simplicity that is in Christ. And I believe that this can serve as a warning or an exhortation for us this morning, at least for us living in the more urban areas of the world, to let us take a step back and re-examine our lives and not to forget the core tenets of our faith, of our lives, of our relationship to God, and not to forget our simplicity of pure devotion to Jesus. See, in life, we like to complicate things. Have you ever met those sort of people at work or in school? They always want to complicate things unnecessarily. And I've always noticed that sometimes complexity is born out of insecurity. To appear busy, to appear to be the subject matter expert, to obfuscate or to throw a smokescreen at a problem that they don't really know the solution to. But actually, that is not needed. And unnecessary complexity has its pitfalls. In 2008, the global economic financial crisis, was brought to the brink of collapse due to the pervasive influence of complex financial products, things like mortgage-backed securities, CLO squared. Warren Buffett coined them weapons of financial mass destruction. But the point is, in the process of trying to be more financially sophisticated and complex, things became more unstable, more ununderstandable, and unnecessarily, which brought about so much destruction. And similarly in the Christian world, see what Paul says here. He says, I am afraid that your minds will be corrupted and led astray from the simplicity of pure devotion to Christ. See, there was something creeping into the Corinthian church where it seems that they needed to make something more complex. They needed to make Christianity more complex. And Paul says, stop. Come back to the simplicity and pure devotion to Jesus. So hopefully this message today will bring us back to a realization that the fundamentals of our faith come from a sincere and pure devotion to our Lord Jesus Christ. And maybe we do not need to complicate our lives and complicate things so much. So let us examine some areas of our lives where we can come back to simplicity in Christ. Today I would just like to examine three broad areas, the areas of our spirit, our soul, and our body. So let's talk first on the areas of our body. And I believe that our body, when we speak about that, it pertains to the flesh and the earthly material things. And a big issue in modern urban life today is the issue of materialism and the relentless pursuit of money. And in the rise of capitalist economies, cash is king. And we find that we need more and more. And we're stuck in this thing called the rat race and in keeping up with the Joneses. And I walk around Central and make observations all around. I see an ad for an apartment that says, "Your perfect life begins here." Or at a shopping mall, it says, "Your good life begins now." Or at a hotel, it says, "Indulge in your perfect luxury or ultimate luxury." And it seems the picture that they're painting is that you could just have your perfect life if you had just obtained X, Y, and Z. Just the other day, I saw a news headline. It says, "With the rise of fast fashion, there are many garments that people wear that are just worn on average 2 or 3 times before being thrown away. People need to be hip, fashionable, to renew their look so often that is contributing to the problem of garment pollution worldwide." We may know some people as well, when they are sad, they just go online, click, 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 buy a whole lot of stuff, get it delivered, and they rack up credit card debt. And I do feel sad because in the midst of all these advertising campaigns or retail therapy, it's actually catering to people who have a longing and an emptiness in their heart. Something there that they're trying to fill, but yet they can't fill it with these, or they're trying to fill it with these material things. And somehow they think by having these things, they get a sense of self-worth or self-validation just for that very moment. And does this happen in the Christian world? I do not think that Christians are particularly immune for this, especially in the urban church. Sometimes Christians fall into the trap of materialism and the relentless pursuit of money, or for more and more and more. See, there is no sin in actually enjoying the fruit of our labor. It is written clearly that it's actually a gift from God. Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 18 to 19. We can turn there. Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 18 and 19. It just says, "Here is what I have seen. It is good and fitting for one to eat and drink and to enjoy the good of all his labor in which he toils under the sun all the days of his life which God gives him, for it is his heritage. And for every man to whom God has given riches and wealth and given him power to eat of it, to receive his heritage and rejoice in the labor, it is a gift from God." But we also know in Ecclesiastes chapter 5, early on in verse 10, Solomon also warns against the relentless pursuit of wealth. He says, "He who loves silver will not be satisfied with silver, nor he who loves abundance with increase. This also is vanity." See, if you set out in your heart to pursue wealth, money, the Bible says that clearly you will not be satisfied with it. It is all vanity, and that's also the sin of covetousness. And I believe that Christians who are of affluence should be especially watchful. Jesus himself warned very clearly in the Synoptic Gospels. He said, "How hard is it for the rich to enter the kingdom of God? And it is actually easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God." And we also know the parable of the sower. You know, where the seed fell on the among the thorns, it does not grow and it dies. Jesus explained that the thorns are the deceitfulness of wealth, the desire of other things that came in, choked the word, making it unfruitful. See, there is just something about riches which is so deceitful, which has the power to change your perspective, to change your heart, and it has a propensity to enslave you. And where it comes a time where you potentially lose your salvation, where that seed that is sown into your heart just dies. And I believe 100% what Jesus said. And let's not try to downplay what Jesus said. And we ignore it at our own peril. That it is hard for the rich to enter the kingdom of God, and for those who trust in riches to enter the kingdom of God. But of course, I also must be faithful to what Jesus says next. After hearing this, the people were astounded and they said, "Who then can be saved?" And Jesus replies the very famous words, "With men it is impossible, but not with God, for with God all things are possible." So if you're wealthy in this life, of course there is hope in Jesus, and of course you can be saved. But I believe that those who are affluent belong to a special category of Christians, where you just need that extra grace to remain in faith in Christ, and to remain in an attitude of trusting Jesus instead of wealth, simply because you're dealing with something that can be so deceitful. So all the more you need to cling on to Jesus, and you need to realize that He alone is your source, and that He alone is more than enough. And constantly go before God and say, "God, try me, search me, see if there's any wicked way within me. So let's examine our hearts and ask Holy Spirit to convict us. Are we first seeking our careers, jobs, wealth, riches, power, materialistic things? Do we pursue our career so much that we neglect God, our families, our ministry, our church? Have our lives become so complex, so cluttered up by the things of the world that we do not even allow Holy Spirit to move and we have hardened our hearts to God? The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 3, verse 15, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as you did in the rebellion. What is the point of amassing millions, billions of dollars, dying and going to hell? Jesus said it very clearly again. What profit a man if he gains the whole world but loses his soul? And what would a man give in exchange for his soul? I tell you, there are many people in hell today who are crying out, having regrets, saying, if only I could give $1 million or even billions for my soul to get out of this place. But now while we're still alive, God is exhorting us to reorientate our lives, to keep it simple, instead of unnecessarily pursuing the materialistic things of this world. So let us pursue God and remember the simplicity of a devotion to Christ. Moving on to area two, the area of our souls. I'll just briefly dwell on this. The soul traditionally refers to the emotional aspects of our lives. And I'll just briefly speak on social-emotional dependency and complex relationships. So social-emotional dependency. Some of us here, maybe the more extroverted ones, are susceptible to this, where we cannot stand being alone, or where we find that we always need to be doing something, and we always need to be filling up our time with social activities. But are we packing our schedule so much with social leisure appointments that we forgot the simplicity of pure devotion to Jesus? And are we trying to get our emotional needs filled by people around, doing social things or just engaging in R&R? And how many of us are guilty of actually wasting our time on these non-productive ventures or being dependent on these activities to fill our emotional needs? The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15 to 17, I think, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. If we are just walking from one social appointment to the next, one party to the next, we are walking as fools in this present evil age. And there is nothing wrong with entertainment, with leisure, or socializing. Nothing wrong with that. But I'm talking about packing our schedules so tightly where every day you get home, you're so tired. You don't have time for your loved ones. You don't have time for God. You don't have time for simple devotion to Jesus. And some of you who are listening in are packing your calendars so much to the brim, maintaining such complex schedules that you need 3 diaries to keep track. Stop. Maybe God today is saying, keep it simple and be reminded to come back to a simple and pure devotion to Christ and allow him to fill and to heal your emotional need. And just briefly on the area of complex relationships. Some of us here are in complex relationships. Have you ever met those who are perpetually in complex relationships? You ask them how they are in a relationship, they say, oh, it's complicated. Why so complicated? Oh, he already has a girlfriend, she's already married, or he's not a Christian. Actually, I don't know what else to say here, but and I'm not sure whether even I'm qualified to say it, but stop being so complicated. Just come back to the simplicity in Christ. For some of us, our family relationships are also so complex. Oh, there's a fight here, a fight there, just like a TVB drama. It's always with drama. I think the word of God to us today is, stop being so complicated. Just come back to simplicity in Christ. So that's all I wanted to speak on the area of the soul. I just want to move on next to the third area, the area of our spirit. And I want to touch on a few moments on the overcomplication of our spirit as it pertains to our spiritual life. And in particular, 2 areas, the area of the word and the area of the ministry of the spirit. Just on the word, I think we need to come back to a simple childlike trust in Jesus. Where we just read our Bibles, you know, in simple English, Chinese, Korean, whatever it is. And just believe and take God at what he says. He says, I am good. I am the provider. I am your father. Forever my word is established in heaven. My faithfulness endures to all generations. He says, I cannot lie. I cannot deny myself. You know, it's just like, I look at my daughter. She has a simple, childlike trust in me. Whatever I say, she believes that I will do it. If I say that I'm going to take her to the zoo, she never for one moment doubts that. And she actually expects it. And this is the realization that God is showing me more and more, just to take him simply at his word, especially around the character of God and who he says he is. But unlike me, who can disappoint my daughter sometimes with loose words, unfulfilled promises, God never does that. He is unchangeable in who he says he is. And his word never returns to him void, but accomplished the very purpose for which it set out to do. And if that is so, and if his character is true and faithful, why do I worry so much? The point for me is, I had a crisis recently, a realization in my spiritual life over the last few months. And I realized that despite knowing so much of God's word, I did not have the heart knowledge of a simple faith and trust in Jesus. But thank God he's taking me progressively on this great journey. And God willing, I will share about this more in detail next month. But let us pray that we'll start having a simplicity in reading and understanding the word of God, just to take him at what he says. Moving on to the ministry of the Spirit, I want to draw attention to the pursuit of gifts, spiritual gifts or spiritual experiences, or sometimes neglecting our pure and simple devotion to Jesus. And how many of us are guilty of that when we go to a conference, a retreat, to hear an event or an anointed speaker, get them to pray for us, hoping to hear a word from God or wanting to experience a powerful move of Holy Spirit. And make no mistake, I am 200% supportive of that. And I believe that we need to experience Holy Spirit more and more. And I want more anointing of the Holy Spirit. And I believe that we need to see more of the demonstration of the power of the Holy Spirit today in the church. But how many times has this phenomenon, so to speak, been a substitute for our regular and simple devotion to Jesus? And we treat these events like a spiritual drug party. We are like spiritual drug addicts. We go, get high on God, but go back to our daily lives and we forget about Jesus. And we neglect to spend time with Jesus or to simply come into his presence in our quiet place. And I'm telling you, this is not sustainable. See, the older I become, and the more I perceive that this is happening, especially within the charismatic movement. But this is not sustainable. These spiritual experiences are just not for us to go there just to feel good. No, they are to empower us to live for Jesus and for us to be more effective in our Christian ministry and our lives. And if we don't have these secret place moments, these quiet moments with Jesus, all of that will come to nothing. It's just like a bit of smoke. They go poof, it just goes on. I actually have a small story or testimony, interesting experience from the other day. And this is not to say that I've actually arrived to that place yet, far from it. But the other day, our sister Juanita was ministering at our house church. And it was good. She was praying for everyone. And Holy Spirit was actually moving mightily and actually ministering to people. And normally, I would want to be part of that action. But that night, I said in my heart, that's actually okay that Sister Juanita does not pray for me. But I'm content just praying for my brothers and sisters, or just being in the background praying and worshiping. And why? Because that morning I actually spent quite a lot of time with God. And he spoke to me and he ministered to me and actually had given me what I needed for that season. So then I came to a realization that I do not need any special man or special woman to come and pray for me, lay hands on me per se. When I can go to my Savior, the one who fills all in all, the one who is more than enough, I can go there directly to him, direct to the source, and to get what I need. So I think that maybe this is how it should be. Spiritual experiences should not be our primary source, but rather it should be a secondary, where it serves as a confirmation about what God is speaking to us in our simple, quiet time. So let us not overcomplicate the ministry of the Holy Spirit. If that's all we are after, and not forgetting or not doing our simple, pure devotion to Jesus, I believe that is in error. So now that we have heard the clarion call to return to a simple devotion to Jesus, what does it actually mean? Actually, I think that's quite simple. We know the two greatest commandments, what they are. It says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And love your neighbor as you love yourself. And all these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. The Apostle Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14, the love of God compels us. 1 John 4:19 says, we love because he first loved us. The simplicity of devotion to Christ is just to allow him to love you, and in return, you love him back. And that comes by spending time in his presence, learning more about God. It comes by worshiping, learning more about Jesus as he reveals himself to us in Holy Scripture. It's also Holy Spirit giving us a heart knowledge of who God is. And we need to ask God to reveal his love towards us, as the Apostle says, that we may be able to comprehend what is the width, the breadth, the depth, the height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, and to be filled with all the fullness of God. So as I bring this message to a close and Ernie comes up, I just want to briefly share on the simple gospel message as well. Jesus says in Mark chapter 10, verse 15, assuredly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will by no means enter it. Some of you here are listening in, are on the relentless pursuit of wealth and are not satisfied. Or some of you are stuck in complex relationships, on the verge of giving up. Or some of you are on the brink, knowing that after a night of socializing, that still brings you an empty feeling. But Jesus is calling this morning and says, believe in the simple gospel, devote yourself to me, and I will satisfy you. Romans chapter 3, verse 23 says, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Romans 6, 23 says, the wages of sin is death. Hebrews 9, 27 says, it is appointed for men once to die, but after this, the judgment. But John 3, 16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. So we're all sinners destined to go to hell, but Jesus Christ, the Son of God, came to earth to die on the cross for our sins. On the third day, he rose again from the dead, is now seated at heaven, and has opened the way for us to go there. But Jesus says the only way to go to heaven is to repent of our sins and to believe that through his death and his resurrection on the cross, that he has provided the way to eternal life. So Jesus comes and beckons us. Would we acknowledge and repent of our sins and receive him into our hearts? Jesus does not care about what sins you have done. He only cares that you repent, confess, and acknowledge that you are a sinner in need of a Savior. So if that is you listening in today, please pray this prayer with me. It says, Jesus, I confess that I am a sinner and in need of a Savior. Lord Jesus, I believe that you are God and came to earth to die on the cross for my sins. And on the third day, you rose again, and today are seated in heaven. Lord Jesus, I repent of my sins. Come into my heart today, Lord. Cleanse me of my sins. I acknowledge you as Lord of my life today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If that was you and this was your sincere prayer, please come to SP. Find a local church wherever you are and get plugged into the Christian community right away. Or if you really need to, write to someone on staff here at SP. But now as we close, for us Christians, let us pray that we refocus and reorientate our lives, and we never forget what is the simplicity of pure devotion to Jesus. And given today is Thanksgiving week, let us just do something very simple. Let us just give thanks to God, come back to basics, for what he has done for us. Sometimes we Christians, we overcomplicate the will of God. We keep asking, God, Lord, what is your will? But God says, I have already written what is my will. There is something that is written that is very simple, neglected. Sometimes we forget. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. So as we close, let us simply give thanks to God for everything in our lives. Let us thank him for who he is and for salvation that he has brought for us. And let's remember that we can come back to the simplicity of devotion to our Lord Jesus Christ.
Come in simplicity, longing for purity, to worship you in spirit and truth, only you. Lord, strip it all away, till only you remain. I'm coming back to my first love, only you. You're the reason I sing, the reason I sing. Yes, my heart will sing how I love you. My heart will sing how I love you. I come with my broken song to you, my perfect one, to worship you, spirit and truth, only you. Give me a childlike heart, lead me to where you are. I'm coming back to my first love, only you. You're the reason I sing, the reason I sing. Yes, my heart will sing how I love you. How I love you, God. His love. How I love you, God. How I love you. How I love you, Lord. My first love.
Yes, my Lord.
Father God, we just ask God that Holy Spirit just comes as the spirit of fire and burning to just come and consume our hearts and just burn up the complexity, the clutter in our hearts that is taking away and detracting from a pure and simple devotion to Jesus. Lord God, just help us to remember, God, that Jesus, you are the reason that we sing, God. It's just all about you, Lord Jesus. You are the center of our faith, God. You are the center of our lives, God. Turn our hearts back, Lord Jesus, to you, God. Help us, Lord God, I pray, God. We are so weak, Lord God. We are so weak, God. But come, Holy Spirit, give us the strength. Change our hearts, renew our minds, that we can come back to the simplicity of pure devotion, of sincerity and pure devotion to our Lord Jesus Christ. And may it always be about Jesus. May we just love Him. May He love us, and may we know His love for us. And may we love because He first loved us. So thank you, God, Holy Spirit, for what you are doing, Lord, this morning, God. Just seal it in our hearts, Lord, this morning. We thank you, Lord Jesus. You deserve it all. Just thank you, Lord, for who you are, what you have done, Lord God, for us, God. That you have let us come, Lord, into that place, God. You're our Saviors, Lord. We thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, God. Let us turn our attention now to the Saturday morning prayer. Let us just pray for members of community who are undergoing cancer or cancer treatment. Just pray for God's complete healing. Let us pray. Effective, Lord God, that just kills, Lord, every single cancer cell, Lord God, I pray. But Lord Jesus, that you, Lord, you just come, Lord God, I pray, as a healer, Lord God. They would know you, they would trust you more, Lord God. May Jesus be glorified, Lord, against these cancers, God, I pray. That, Lord, you be glorified through these episodes. So we thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Let's pray for people that we know that are sick, but more importantly, they need salvation. Let's just pray. Ashley's friend Chris, Fiona's grandfather, Sophia's father, Poco's mother, Lord God. We pray, Lord, for the various, God, surgery, recoveries, God, for knee replacement, surgeries, pancreatic cancers, heart surgeries, ulcers, discs, colon cancers, God, chemo's, God, kidney diseases, strokes, colon and lung. Just pray for members of a community who are suffering various infirmities. Just pray for God to bring complete healing. Let's pray. Pray for members of the community who are looking for jobs. Just pray for opportunity and God's favor and for them to use the time wisely. Let us pray. Let's turn to our Saturday focus, the mission focus. Let's pray for North Korea Open Doors for Ministry. Pray for missional opportunities and partnerships in Asia. Let's also pray for the persecuted churches, especially also in the Middle East. Let us just pray. Pray for the various SP weekend gatherings. Just pray that Jesus be glorified in these meetings. Let us pray. finally, let's pray for our house churches that are meeting, Fortress, Mawan, Southside, and Westside. Let us pray. Lord God, we just thank you, Lord, that we can come here this morning. Come here, Lord, this Thanksgiving weekend, Lord Jesus. It's such a privilege, God, to come into your presence, God. But Lord, we just come here, Lord, because you first love us, God. And so, Lord, in response, God, just help us, God, I pray, to love you back, Lord God, I pray. To love you back, God, to come back to the sincere, the pure, sincere devotion to you, Lord Jesus. Change our hearts, Lord God, I pray. Change our minds, Lord God, I pray. Give us more love for you, Lord Jesus. Let us love you, Lord, and to love others, Lord God. So, Lord Jesus, we just thank you, Lord God. Thank you for our opportunity to pray, God. Just seal these prayers, God, by the blood of Jesus. Lord, even as we go, Lord, our separate ways, Lord God, I just pray that you always remind us, Lord God, when we are going astray, God, to just come back to you, God. Simple and pure love for you, Lord God. So we thank you, Lord Jesus. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Enjoy the rest of your devotion time.